The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 6th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us on what has turned into a gorgeous Friday here in Auburn and Opelika. I have not been able to enjoy it. I have been grinding away today with several different things, including getting ready for what is supposed to be and planning on being a fantastic show here this Friday afternoon. We've got college basketball. We've got Super Bowl. We may have updates from Tuscaloosa. Not really sure what that's supposed to be. So a lot to get to on the show this afternoon on a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Christian, happy Friday, sir. I know you've been busy today because I was up early. You're going to be up late.
Very much so, yeah. Lee Scott Academy doing battle inside Samford Gymnasium, and both games inside Samford Gymnasium, and that was thanks to what we saw on Monday morning, where Lee Scott didn't necessarily win the coin toss, but the opposing team lost the coin toss. And so we knew that the varsity boys were going to host the area tournament. Now we know that the varsity girls will host as well. And so it will be Lee Scott and Dadeville, both for the varsity girls and the varsity boys. We hope you'll join us inside Samford Gymnasium or on Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, that Radio Alabama app. The girls varsity game is scheduled for a 6 o'clock start. Varsity boys scheduled for 7:30. We know how that sometimes can work, and with there being two games before the 6 o'clock start, with the 2 and the 3 seed playing both their varsity girls and varsity boys games, we don't know if that could be a little bit before, a little bit after. We're not really sure, but one thing we do know is we have postseason basketball that starts tonight at Lee Scott Academy.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun for you. Auburn High will get started next week. More on that in next week. But today's a loaded show, man. There is so much happening. Of course, the Iron Bowl of basketball tomorrow between Auburn and Alabama. Not really updates on who could or could not be playing in terms of Charles Bediako. There is some news on the Baron Filon we need to talk about for Alabama, plus what Auburn will look like tomorrow inside of Neville Arena. And we're about to get a returning guest to start the show with us on the phone lines in just a minute or two, because Sunday's the big game. Sunday is the Super Bowl. Sunday is Patriots and Seahawks. And I don't know if it's because we're just so encompassed in the college landscape and the high school landscape, and I love the NFL. I think I like the NFL probably more than you do, just because I grew up in the North, I guess, where it was definitely more popular. This seems to have not a lot of buzz around it. Am I crazy to say that there hasn't been as much hype around this Super Bowl as we've had in recent memory? Maybe because Patrick Mahomes isn't in it. Maybe because, I don't know.
I was going to say, from the Auburn perspective, because the Broncos aren't in it, right? It's not Bo Nix playing, yeah, or Jarrett Stidham playing for a Super Bowl. So, I mean, I definitely think that that plays at least a little bit of a factor. You're playing teams that are almost as far as you could get north from us and as far as you could get northwest from us. I believe that's how that works. Yeah. With, again, New England and Seattle. But when you're looking at the game itself, it's going to be a really, really fun game. And again, we're about to get a really fun returning guest on here to give you some ideas on the game itself, but also everything outside the game, because my goodness, you feel like that's where half the money goes regardless. And so we're excited to be able to get that man on the phone lines here with us. Jacob's got him on the phone right now, about to go to our guy Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and Paramount Sports Plus and ParamountSports.com. And my goodness, what better way to bring it back to Free For All Friday than to start it with this man?
Yeah, we got our guy Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. It's been a little bit since we've talked to him. He helped us start our show every Friday during the college football season, took a little break, and now we're back for the final time until next college football season with the Super Bowl on Sunday. Lee, it is so great to talk to you, my friend. We appreciate you taking the time, and one of the busiest times of year, I would imagine, for you and your organization.
Oh, I mean, it's not even that. My phone's ringing off the hook. My wife wanted to know if we could go out for dinner tonight. I said, dinner? I'm going to be eating here at my desk in my office for probably, I'll be up till probably 10, 11 o'clock tonight, tomorrow night. So, so much action, you know, people want to get signed up. Everyone wants to get involved with the Super Bowl, whether it's the player props, the game, or even, you know, as we know, over the last decade, my daughter's national anthem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a ton to get to, and the big game is one of the most popular ones for the non-normal bets, right? This isn't just who's going to win or by how much or whatever. This is where all the prop bets come in, and what color jersey will they be wearing? What vest will they wear? Will the head coach have a visor on or not? I mean, there really are all sorts of props and things. But before we get into all that stuff, Lee, remind our folks and our people who maybe weren't with us during the fall or missed you on Fridays, tell the people what you do and what Paramount Sports is and why they should be involved with you coming into Sunday.
Well, this is our 33rd year in business, and have developed a staff now that I think second to none. I've replaced one employee in the last 10 years, found a new UFC guy that's just incredible. For instance, UFC, we've won 23 of the last 29 cards since he came on board. So I'm always looking to find the very best people that, you know, want to find the needle in the haystack that can make the difference in these games. So just love the staff that I have and their work ethic, and we've only had one losing season in 33 years. So even if we lose this game, it's been another great year. So whether you're interested in football, basketball, baseball, hockey, or the UFC, we do it all and have never had our last losing season was in 2006 in basketball and 2003 in football. So you're looking for the very best, go to the website, ParamountSports.com. We price it. There's some people charging $4,000 or $5,000 per season. We're less than half that. Jeez. And you can buy like the Super Bowl and our top 15 prop plays, $97 if you use coupon code SAVE50 at checkout. And a UFC card this weekend. We've won both cards since the start of the season in 23 or 29. Five monster selections, they're just $35. So check it all out, ParamountSports.com. And we're not going to reconvene until the Wednesday before the start of March Madness. So if you like what you hear, you can always follow me on the Locked On Network, Locked On Bets. It's a daily podcast, and you can get it on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple. It's up and available starting at 9 in the morning your time. Just go to YouTube, Spotify, or Apple and type in three words, Locked On Bets, and like and subscribe. Give out three or four selections each day in a 15-minute podcast.
Well, he's one of the busiest men in the business and the best man in the business, Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Let's jump into it, my friend, because it's the Super Bowl. It's the big game. It's one of the busiest days of the year in professional sports. It's the Seahawks and it's the Patriots. We're going to talk about the matchup in particular in just a moment, but you've got a few of those fun props that you want to tell people about and maybe some insight on where people should go.
Yeah, so let's start off with the national anthem. And We've talked about it many years. My daughter's done it now. This will be her 12th year. First nine were easy. I made 5 to 10 second winners either way. Then came 2 years ago, and we had the under in the national anthem with Reba McEntire. And what did she do? She decides to sing the last line twice. So my daughter had the under. Technically, it went over. Most sports books ended up paying out both ways as a goodwill gesture because she did that. No one anticipated that. Now they've made it from the first word, first note to the last note, whatever it is. And then we ran across last year. She told me it's going to be close. I'm like, oh no, we got to sweat it out. She goes, yep. And sure enough, John Baptiste, he ended up doing it. We had the under. We won it by 1 second. So I gave her the assignment of Charlie Puth. I said, Charlie Puth is a singer. I've heard a couple of his songs. Tell me what you think, over under. And so she comes back a couple days later, and she's smiling. I said, you feel good about it? She goes, I love it. And I'm like, okay, give me a couple. Tell me to go where, you know, so I can hear him, so I can feel good about your selection. She goes, oh, he's never sang the national anthem. I'm like, how do you know how long he's going to go if he's never sang a national anthem? She goes, here's how I found out. She goes, he did an interview a couple weeks ago with Ryan Seacrest. And in it, he's a singer and a songwriter and a composer. Mm-hmm. He revealed that he'll be doing this national anthem with a choir and an orchestra. So she feels he's going to take his time. He is taking it very seriously. He's from New Jersey, just like only one other former singer for the national anthem for the Super Bowl. And that was just someone, I don't know, you might have heard of her, someone named Whitney Houston. You ever heard of her, Jacob?
I would think so.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So he takes it seriously. So she thinks he's going to be something special. It's going to be no one will probably eclipse Whitney Houston's national anthem, but she thinks it's going to be one of the best ones ever. So we'll go over the – it's just a half second short of 2 minutes. She thinks it's going to go about 2:10, 2:15 on the national anthem, over on the national anthem.
I was going to ask if there – so 159 is right around the line,
yeah,
right now.
For, right.
Is that,
yeah.
Have you noticed over the past 12 years or so, is that right around the usual time, or does it fluctuate big time
anywhere,
based off
it's of anywhere from, yeah, like 152 to 202, 203,
okay,
usually the line.
Wow.
Depending on the singer. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so there you go. National anthem. He's taking the over, is Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Other props and non-game props before we get into a couple of player props, and then which direction you're going for Patriots and Seahawks.
Yeah, another non-game props. I like Cooper Kupp here. Over 2.5 receptions. Here's a guy they've been going to more in the playoffs, and he's one of these guys really good at reading defenses. I still think he has a lot left in the tank, and he knows where to go in the zone, when to sit down, how to find the seam. Over 2.5 receptions seems like that's certainly doable. Mac Hollins for New England. You're saying Mac Hollins? He's like the fourth receiver. He has 45 catches. He's not even a main target. Well, in his 2 or 3 receptions a game, they push the ball down the field with him. They're not throwing any flanker screens with Mac Hollins. He's 6'4", 220. He's tall, can jump out of the gym, long arms. Over 15.5 yards, longest reception for Mac Hollins. And then Stephon Diggs, New England wide receiver. He's had 4 and 5 catches the last 2 games, but I think he's lost a step, and he's going to face a lot of man coverage here. So let's go with Stephon Diggs under 4.5 receptions.
There you go. A couple of the player props that you need to be able to dive into, and we'd be wrong to ask unless this is something that we got to give a call for. Who you picking, Lee? You like the Seahawks or you like the Patriots in this game?
So we're going to go with the Seahawks. I just think that New England got there maybe a year too early. Usually got to pay your dues. And I think Drake may not be 100%. And on top of that, Ramondre Stevenson's been great in the playoffs. But, you know, he's more of a plotter. And I think the Super Bowl is about making explosive plays. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to hit on enough explosive plays. If you have to go 12, 14, 15 plays down the field against the Seattle defense, you're going to probably incur some penalties, maybe a turnover in some matter, an interception or a fumble. So I think Seattle's defense just a little bit better. They played on this surface at least once every single year. So I think it's Sam Darnold's time here. I think he's figured it out. The green lights come on here. So let's go with Seattle, lay the 4.5. I'm winning and covering here, 27-16.
Salih, what you're telling me is over a decade later, Seattle will get revenge for not running the football at the one-yard line.
Well, Miami got it. Miami got it against Ohio State. So maybe it's a year of revenge. So they came up 1 yard short, and Miami felt they were robbed, and it was sweet. It was really sweet getting that revenge, seeing the Ohio State fans file out after most of them leaving the stadium in a drunken stupor. So let's just say I'll be happy for Seattle if they're able to avenge that loss, which is stuck in the crawl for them for a little over a decade. I had to wait over 20 years. So like I said, maybe it's a year of revenge.
Well, there's a lot happening around the big game on Sunday, and of course the game itself, and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com taking the time to talk to us today here in Auburn and Opelika, my friend. It's so good to catch up with you again. I'm sure you've got more that people can get access to if they reach out to you right now, huh?
Oh, yeah. We've got you know, basketball, college basketball, another 3-0 night. Last night we're on it. Right now, 17-4 run. As I mentioned, UFC, 5 selections, 5 monster selections, just $35, including a rare 40 to 50 unit max release going tomorrow. Hockey is going to take a couple weeks off. Check out our Twitter at Paramount Sports and at Paramount Sports NHL. We'll release some free selections for the Olympics. So check it all out, ParamountSports.com, or follow me on the Locked On Network. Just type in, you know, like I said, on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, 3 words, Locked On Bets.
Lee, we appreciate it, my friend. It's always so much fun catching up with you again. We are really appreciative of your time. And as you said, we will catch up with you right before the NCAA basketball tournament too, right?
Okay. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks so much. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. There it is. You've got it. You've got over on the national anthem. He's taken a couple of receivers overs and unders, and he's taking the Seahawks, Christian, to win Super Bowl 60 on Sunday.
Yeah, 4.5-point favorites. Do you think that's a lot for a Super Bowl?
I think it seems about right, given what these two teams are. We're going to take a break here in a moment and come back and have our one segment on the Super Bowl today. But, yeah, I think so. I just think based off the two teams, based off their paths to get here too, that's been a big conversation point.
Oh, very much so.
Even with Patriots fans. Like, I was talking with one today about the feeling around this game and the idea that nobody's giving the Patriots a chance. It seems like everybody's picking Sam Darnold and the Seahawks to where they feel like they have nothing to lose.
Have you seen the NFL graphic from the start of the season?
Uh-uh.
Like the very start that had the Super Bowl logo with
Is this the
Santa
color?
Clara.
Is this the color?
Not even that per
what's
se.
What's the word I'm looking for? The color theory, I guess.
I don't know if that's completely there, but the two quarterbacks that were at the very front of the line were Drake May and Sam Darnold.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's creepy. I mean, that's crazy.
I mean,
not that anybody could actually predict that these two.
I don't know. The script writers are just, every single year, just continue to do it.
I mean, Patriots had an easy path. That's all I'm saying.
What do we know?
We will tell you what we know or what we don't when we come back. We'll talk a little bit about the 60th edition of the big game. We'll give our thoughts. We'll make our picks as well. Then we head up to Tuscaloosa, and we try to figure out what's going on with Charles Bediako. Will he play tomorrow, or will he not play tomorrow? And will LeBaron Filon play tomorrow as well? All that's coming up here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you being with us. Also appreciate Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com for starting the show with us, as he does throughout the football season, before the Super Bowl, and before the NCAA basketball tournament. So a guy that gave us very good picks. He picked the national anthem length. He picked a couple of receiver lines. He also picked the game. He picked the winner of what he thinks is going to happen. And so he made his pick. Christian, let's make our pick. We got a few minutes here. We won't go super crazy in our Super Bowl coverage, but we are going to carry the game here on ESPN 106.7 this weekend. So we'll have Auburn women's basketball Sunday afternoon, and then we're going to pick up the broadcast in progress. The game will not have started. We'll pick up in their, you know, four-hour pregame stuff on ESPN Radio. So we're going to have that here on ESPN, so make sure to tune in and be a part of that. But your thoughts on Patriots and Seahawks for the big game, which, by the way, if people want to give your thoughts, the phone lines are open at 334-321-1390. The text box is open at 334-784-1067. And so is our big game sweepstakes promotion going on right now. We've got a contest for you on our station website running right now through Sunday at 3 o'clock. Okay, that's the deadline to get in your pick. All you got to do, submit your email, submit your pick for the game, and you'll be entered to win with our big game sweepstakes. It's brought to you by University Ace Hardware and ACCS and Plumbing. They are giving away great prizes. We are giving away great prizes as well for the person who can get the correct score or the closest correct score in the big game. So go to our station website, ESPNAU.com, click on the contest tab, and be sure that you check that out, including prizes. A Blackstone tabletop griddle from University Ace Hardware. A heat pump or a gas furnace, and inspection from Affordable Comfort Cooling Systems and Plumbing. A smart TV from us here at Auburn Network, and an Auburn Network prize pack. So you can go check that out. Again, ESPNAU.com for the big game sweepstakes. It's free to enter, so do that before Sunday afternoon.
Man.
Doesn't get better than that.
You know what gets better is my thought process. The more, this is the first time that I've genuinely given a thought about who's going to win this football game.
Wow.
Other than knowing and acknowledging the two teams that are in it. Again, the Seahawks, a 4.5-point favorite. When you look at what the Patriots have done, I mean, against the Chargers, really good defense. Against the Texans, really good defense. And against the Broncos, really good defense. Now, granted, the Broncos game is a little bit of an asterisk just because of how that game was played. But Drake May still found a way to have success against three really good defenses. I don't know if any of them, maybe the Broncos, matches up with the Seahawks. And so it makes me want to lean almost towards the underdog just a little bit, but I don't know that I can do it because of the dominance that we've seen just on both sides of the football. From Seattle, I'll take it. I'll take Sam Darnold, who, man, we almost wrenched clear of the success that he had last year up until the postseason. Now you put him on a team like Seattle, and you see the success that he has. I'll take Seattle, and I'll take them to cover. Give me a 28-20 type of game.
Wow. Okay. Look, I think this is a fascinating matchup. I think there are playmakers on both sides. I think both teams run the ball relatively well. I think both defenses are very good. And for Drake May to be in this situation in his second year in the league, and in his first full year of starting, remember, he didn't play the first 4 or 5 weeks of his rookie year there in New England. He took over, and then they were like, oh, this guy's kind of good. And they somehow lucked into Mike Vrabel being their head coach, because Tennessee was like, oh, this guy sucks, we don't want him. And New England was like, cool, yoink, we'll take that. And now in his early days in New England, he has taken them all the way to the Super Bowl.
Is Vrabel almost one of those coaches that we've talked about of that gets passed on by one team but stays in the same league and actually has success?
He is, but
not as much as, I mean, some of the...
This isn't a Doc Rivers situation.
Right.
I think Tennessee was just dumb.
Yeah.
And he also was at Tennessee, where they didn't do anything. The Titans are a miserable franchise.
Yeah.
You go to the Patriots with a historic owner in Robert Kraft, who I think was at Gordy yesterday, that said he's just shoving two middle fingers in the air right now to everybody because Belichick's gone and Brady's gone, and now they're right back in the Super Bowl. But I think this game is gross. I think it's ugly. You remember last year's blowout in the Super Bowl? I think this one will be close, but it will not be pretty. But it will be a good game in the fourth quarter. I like Patriots to cover. I like Seahawks to win. I like Seattle to score right around the two-minute warning. I like the Patriots to get the football back. The storyline is going to be incredible. Drake May, ball in his hands, chance to win it as a sophomore, but he throws a pick and the game is over.
Almost like a 13-10 type game. Seattle takes it 17-13. Drake May has 2 minutes to go and can't go win it.
Same way that the Patriots, or no, that Seattle threw a pick against the Patriots way back when. I think the script has been reversed.
Just not at the 1 yard.
Just not at the goal line. No, no, it won't happen that way. But that's all I think. I think something gross, ugly, low scoring. But at the end of it, everybody's going to be glued to the TV, glued to their radio, glued to their phones, and tuned in to the Super Bowl, which we will have for you, the national broadcast here on ESPN 106.7, coming up on Sunday afternoon following Auburn women's basketball. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go to college basketball with two major updates from Tuscaloosa. One on Charles Bediako, kinda, and another on LeBaron Filon. It impacts the game against Auburn tomorrow. We talk about that next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us. And phone lines are open for the next 30 minutes or so. If you'd like to be a part of the program, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We have a fun guest coming in at 3 o'clock that we are excited to have back on the program. He'll be in the studio. It's a current Auburn football player that we're going to get to talk to. So very excited for that. A guy that's been here with us before, and a chance to kind of recap what last year was, the ups and downs, the craziness of that, the process of a coaching change, the debate on whether to go in the portal or not, and then preview what this season could be, and then a special message that he wants to share with everyone as well. So excited to have Hudson Cock coming in, Auburn punter, Auburn Buta. To be coming in to talk with us in about 30 minutes. But
yeah, a good mate.
Yeah, he is a good mate. Yeah. But before then, we're talking basketball. We're talking basketball because Auburn and Alabama play tomorrow, 3 o'clock inside of Neville Arena, radio broadcast over on Wings 94.3 starting at 2:30. But there are several question marks, unknowns, that we are trying to figure out between now and tomorrow at 3 o'clock between Auburn and Alabama, where one is the ongoing situation that we've had all week long, which is Charles Bediako. The other one is LeBaron Filon. Now, one is an eligibility thing. The other is an injury thing. And we'll start with LeBaron Filon because he is, as of right now, he is a game-time decision. Okay? Also, sorry, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. I don't know if I shared that or not. Text box is open as well. It's 334-784-1067. As of right now, LeBaron Filon, one of the best players in college basketball, is questionable and a game-time decision for the Iron Bowl of basketball.
Yeah, says that Oates reported that Filon was unable to practice on Friday due to a thigh bruise that he suffered in the win against Texas A&M. And again, he's a player that shoots 51% from the floor, averages 21.5 points per contest, and also mentioned a couple of notes about Taylor Bull Bowen's injury, talking about how he practiced earlier today and thought that he was moving well, and said LeBaron's still trying to recover from that thigh bruise he had at the end of the first half last game, so he was not able to practice today. And so, yeah, so you mentioned it, listed as a game-time decision for Saturday, and you can play into that as much as you would imagine. I would be very surprised if Filon's name is not called on Saturday in the lineup.
I mean, let's just be honest here. If he has any physical capability to play, he will.
Right.
And
even if it's 20 minutes.
Yeah, and he should, and Alabama clearly wants him to. I mean, has he missed a game all year? Has he missed a game this season for Alabama?
I don't believe so. Not a full game. I know he's missed minutes because of Oates challenging him on the defensive end of the floor. But I don't believe it's been from an injury standpoint.
Put a pin in this very quickly. Did you see the comments from Tom Izzo about Jeremy Fears the other night?
Yes. Talking about how he might not start him on Saturday.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. Says he's got to be better.
Says he has to figure some things out maturity-wise.
For your best player.
Because it's back-to-back games that he's played where there's been an instance of, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, come on, man. That's crazy.
Yes.
From the Hall of Famer Tom Izzo with their, not their only player, but their go-to guy.
Oh, yeah, their guy.
Their guy. And he said, yeah, I may not start him on Saturday. And that didn't come off to me as a hot, just instant reaction. That was Tom Izzo giving you inside knowledge of, here's what I'm thinking. I'll see you Saturday morning.
That was the Tahad Pettiford, Stephen Pearl type message.
Yeah.
Until you figure some things out, we'll see what happens on Saturday. Who does Michigan State play on Saturday?
I did look, and I cannot remember. Who
I can't either.
Play Saturday? I literally looked at it before the show.
Oh, they play Illinois.
Wow, that's right.
Oh, wow, okay.
Wow,
well,
that's even bigger than that he said that, because they're playing, I mean, that's a top 10 game. It is in East Lansing, but still, that's a huge
game. We'll see how much he regrets making those comments if Izzo needs to win, but
speaking of coaches' reactions, as we, again, have put a pin in the Bediako LeBaron Filon thing for just a second, did you see the clip last night from Maryland and what's his name? Buzz Williams?
No.
Did you see this? It was late in the game. Maryland was losing. There was just a broken play on offense. They tried to dump it down low, and the guy just, like, basically hands it to the other team. Just a terrible turnover. They're trying to, like, stay alive in the game, basically. Terrible turnover. And Buzz Williams just hits the floor on all fours. He just like puts his hands in the air and just falls to the floor.
Here
please try
and do. I have the video right now, and I have.
They're like on the right hand side.
I have thankfully muted my computer.
It's like right hand side of the floor. They bring it in. They dump it down low. Homie just turns it over horrifically, and Buzz Williams just hits the floor. He just falls to his knees.
That's awesome.
It was
so
funny,
dude was trying
funny,
to go
man.
For a move in the low post and just didn't bring the basketball with
he
him.
Just left
and
it.
There is just a slow motion fall to the floor. That is.
Is that
going to
go down as one of the worst coaching decisions ever? Oh, coaching gosh. Moves? I mean, that is not even. There was no. Even when it happened, Christian, there was nobody that said,
oh, wow.
That's a step up. There was not even people saying, that's a lateral move.
Well, did you see the comments that he made last night where he admitted there were recruiting mistakes that he made for Maryland?
No.
This is after Maryland's, again, their 10th loss in 11 games by double digits.
How did you
Big
see
10.
Quotes and not the video? And I didn't see the quotes, but the video. That's crazy.
I don't know.
Internet, man.
But it talked about his turnover rates, how they don't win 50-50 balls, and they can't get a decent rebounding percentages. But
That Maryland team is bad.
Yeah. Oh, he said, I completely 1,000% understand the expectations of this program, of all programs at this level, and particularly the University of Maryland in regards to these results. And so because of that, I've got to continue to find ways to do better. I think you have to be careful when you're 1-10 that you say anything that comes across as an excuse. He then continues on trying to find the exact same trying to find it right here.
This is good radio.
It is very good radio.
I didn't see his quotes.
We also have not planned this, if you could not tell. Otherwise, we would have.
I just know that Maryland sucks. They're 8-14, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's,
they're terrible.
It's really,
like you said, 1-10 in conference play, 8-14 overall is Buzz Williams in Maryland. And I get why he took the job. I don't agree with it. It was a step back from Texas A&M and the SEC going to Maryland in the Big Ten. But here's why he took it. You remember, maybe some people don't, Maryland has not always been in the Big Ten. They were in the ACC forever, since the beginning. Well, I guess actually they were in the Southern back in like the 50s, but they have been in the ACC since the mid-1950s. And when they were in the ACC, that was a program winning 20 games a year. That was a program that was winning 20 games a year, making it to the NCAA tournament rather consistently, and was a proud basketball program.
I mean, just a couple of years ago, Derek Queen led them on a run.
And even since they've been in the Big Ten, they have made the NCAA tournament here and there. Now, they, looking at their tournament history since joining the Big Ten, they've made it 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 different times. They lost in the third round, the regional semis, the first round, the second round, the second round, the second round, and the regional semis. Folks, they have not won an NCAA tournament game. The Maryland Terrapins have not won an NCAA tournament game since 2001-2002. They have not won. Don't they have one of the longest like losing streaks in the NCAA tournament? I think I remember seeing that somewhere. That's when they, holy crap, that's when they won the national championship. That's when they won the title. And that's when they were in the ACC because, do you know who the last team was to win a national championship in college basketball from the Big Ten? It was Michigan State in the year 2000. The only national championship that Tom Izzo has won
at
Michigan State. Fun fact there. But
25 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. But Maryland was a proud basketball program. So historically, it makes sense for a guy like Buzz Williams to take that type of job. But my goodness, how bad does it look right now? And it's like, what made you decide that that was the better job? What decision went into that? I don't care how much he's making up there. I don't know. I don't care.
Or the pressure that Aguiland gave him.
I don't know. So that video was kind of funny.
It is.
It really just summed up the whole situation of Buzz Williams at Maryland where he just hits, he just falls to his knees. Man.
And again, this is all from a 24/7 sports article that you could look up. There's a bunch of quotes, and the one about basically taking the blame for the recruiting wasn't as bad as I feel like I had seen, but it's basically just him talking about, when we got here, do we want to go get all of the guys from the portal, or do we only want to recruit from the high school level? And then basically saying, I need to understand that we have to be able to score a little bit better. But nothing at least too crazy right now. But yeah, it's still one of the more questionable hires. Did you find something else?
No. Tripp, who is in the studio with us, one of our new hires who is going to be helping us with a lot of production things. I think I'm trying to find, is that somewhere else too, Tripp? It looks like they're trying to report on the Bediako stuff, which is what this segment was supposed to be. We're talking Charles Bediako.
We put a pin in it about 8 minutes ago. Yeah.
We're pulling the pin back out of the wall. Back to Alabama. Because LeBaron Finelon, game time decision, he's got the thigh issue, he's fine, he'll play. Charles Bediako, on the other hand, right, the latest updates there was the judge said, no, we're not postponing it, we're meeting Friday, 9:30 a.m. on February 6th in Tuscaloosa County.
Yeah.
They reported, they met, media was allowed in, but they were not allowed to have technology. They were not allowed to have it, not allowed to use it. And now, once they broke after a couple of hours, they said they were to report back with results by 4 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah, the judge asked both sides to have fully submitted proposals by 4 p.m. And 4 p.m. looms large, not only because that's an hour and 15 minutes from now, but that's because court cases work on a Monday through Friday regular working hours basis. And so there are also conversations that if a decision is not made by 5 p.m. on Friday, today, that even if it's something that resolves at 5:26 p.m. on Friday, it would not be enforced until Monday morning at 9 a.m., meaning that Bediako would play his final game in Neville Arena.
could play his final game if the decision
goes
his way. Yeah,
right. The way that, and we haven't even talked about it. Was it towards the end of the show that we may have mentioned it, or was it last night when Sankey came out and publicly backed the NCAA, talking about the integrity of the SEC and how this opens Pandora's box even more if this allows, or if this is something that continues to be allowed to go on. There's so many quotes and so many tweets about this whole situation that continues to unfold, but apparently there was a big conversation that was talking about Bediako and his degree at Alabama, and I'm sure you've seen some of these, and they said that his pro basketball career has not gone to plan so far, which shows why he's, goes without saying. And so because of that, the G League may not welcome him back in, and because of that, he may have to fall back and, quote, rely on his degree, which has absolutely nothing to do with college basketball.
Oh.
You know how many people go back to college to complete or get another degree?
That poor, poor grown man. Grown man who would have to get a degree and join the freaking workforce.
They also then followed it up by saying he would be harmed by the NCAA by losing his ability to pursue his degree if he could not continue to play.
That's such a load of crap. There's no way you believe this. There's no way on God's green earth that grown freaking adults are sitting here writing all of this up and saying, yeah, that's good. I believe in that. That's not childish. This is stuff you would see in a middle school playground drama. Like, this is ridiculous. Oh, he's going to be negatively the G League may not take it. His reputation's going to be tarnished by the G League.
Yeah,
really think they care?
He would be harmed by the NCAA by losing his ability to pursue his degree.
Cry me a river.
You know what my response, and again, this, I know that I've shoved this down everybody's throats that listens daily, but this is not an Auburn versus Alabama thing whatsoever. This is just the college basketball game that I love and adore. We both absolutely love and adore. And a situation that is now taking the entire sport by storm and could affect it for its entirety. That's why we get fired up about this situation. To be completely honest, it has absolutely nothing in terms of my personal opinion on what Saturday or what tomorrow looks like in Neville Arena.
I
could not care.
I really don't care.
Because for that game, when we start talking about it at 3:30, his name, I promise you, will not be mentioned.
No, it
because
won't.
We want to talk about what's going to happen in the 40-plus minutes that happens inside Neville Arena on Saturday at 3 p.m. This is not an Auburn versus Alabama thing, and I hope that the people listening understand where we come from on that side of things, but he would be harmed by the NCAA by losing his ability to pursue his degree. That is the counter argument of why he should still be able to play college basketball.
That's soft. I mean, that's, and again, I refuse to believe that if you sat all these grown adults down in a chair and hooked them up to a lie detector and said, do you believe this crap? Do you really believe in what you're spewing here? None of them would say that. I've also seen a ton of arguments, too, from people saying that Alabama does not have Charles Bediako's best interests at heart here, that they are not trying to benefit him, even though that's the load of crap that Nate Oates is trying to sell right now. Alabama doesn't care. They don't care. You really think they care about the well-being of Charles Bediako and whether he can play more college basketball
or
whether
what his
he gets
degree
his
looks
degree?
Like?
Yeah, exactly. There's no way. You know why? Because it's a me world.
Yeah.
It's a me world. It's about me, not you, me. It's what can benefit me. What benefits my stuff, my reputation, my program, my team, my wallet.
But selflessly, as we put our hands to our hearts in regardless of the decision, Nate Oates and Alabama will keep him on scholarship so that way he can pursue his degree at Alabama. If he, whether or not he can play, they will keep him on scholarship.
Somebody brings up a good point in the on-the-line text box. I mean, I know we got to get to break. We'll wrap up this conversation to end hour number one. 334-784-1067 is the number to text in. It says they don't have to believe it. but it's a lawyer's duty to zealously advocate for their client, which is absolutely true.
So you're saying the people that are with Bediako's side, whether or not they believe it, they're doing their duty of backing the party that they are.
Yeah, I mean, their job is basically to come up with arguments and a defense for it, right? I mean, it's the argument that people in a fascinating conversation about defense attorneys, which is what they are, right? You're defending a murderer coming out of jail, or you're a drug cartel, whatever, right? And it's like, how do you feel defending this person? And they're like,
conscious side of things.
It's my job, right? It's my job to come up with an argument, to come up with a case on why they should be, you know, free, or why this should go in their direction.
Sure.
Bediako's camp is the same way. It's an excellent point. It's just sad knowing that there's no way they believe the stuff they're putting on paper right now.
We'll go to break with a quote from Memphis head coach and former NBA player Penny Hardaway.
Oh, boy.
Who was asked about the Charles Bediako situation, saying, quote, "You can't blame Charles. You can't even blame Alabama. You got to blame the people that are in charge of this always being happening."
It's pretty spot on. We'll talk about that. Wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, we're back. We got about, a minute or so. The music's going to kick us out of here in just a minute. But we will see if there is an update. I think it has to be by 4 o'clock for Charles Bediako, right? Or if that's when they're coming
together.
That's
when the proposals had to be submitted. So I don't know if that means they then have 30 minutes or an hour to review those or come to a final decision, but
yeah, we won't be able to say anything about it probably on our show. The Drive will have a chance to break that. But here's my final take before we wrap up hour number one. The idea that there's a chance that they said, no, we're meeting today, we're going to do it. They met, they broke, and then they said, submit everything by 4 o'clock. The fact that there's a chance that this still gets pushed to Monday is unacceptable to me.
7.5 hours after the meeting time started.
That's ridiculous. That's absurd. You pushed so hard, the judge did, for it to be today, and yet this could still filter into Monday. That's terrible. Either way, if we get updates, we'll talk about it. If not, we will talk the game itself. Auburn and Alabama coming up in hour number two, but to start hour number two, we got a fun guest joining us as Auburn football punter Hudson Cock. He joins us in the studio to start hour number two. Stick around.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us as we get started here in hour number two. If you missed any of the first 60 minutes of today's show, we had a ton of fun. We started the program with our guy, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. He joined us to talk all things Super Bowl. He picked the over-under for the national anthem length, also had a couple of other fun prop bets in there, talked about a couple of receivers you need to keep your eyes on, and picked his winner for the big game coming up on Sunday. So you could go back and listen to that in the podcast. We made our Super Bowl picks, and then we kind of talked the latest updates out of Tuscaloosa on Charles Bediako, as we still await the results of that. We also talked the health status of LeBaron Filon, who is a game-time decision tomorrow as well. So all of that was in the first 60 minutes of today's show. If you missed it, go back, listen to the podcast version of it wherever you get your podcast, or the easiest way to find it is on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And most importantly, the random Buzz Williams videos. That
yeah, we did get to dunk. We did get to dunk on Buzz Williams.
That's the most important thing from all of our number one.
Not as much fun as dunking on Gonzaga and Mark Few like we did yesterday, but it's a close second.
But here in our number two, man, when 3:30 hits, we are diving into all things Auburn and Alabama, the Iron Bowl of basketball, 3 o'clock inside Neville Arena, the actual game. We've talked so much drama. We've talked so much politics. We're going to dive into some of the actual numbers and how fun this game is going to be, how both fan bases feel a little bit nervous because you don't know what you're going to see on the floor, really, from either one of these teams. We're going to talk all about that. But Jacob said it on the way out, and we've been teasing it here for the past couple of days. We get to have a good buddy of the show and a good mate of ours, Mr. Hudson Cock of Auburn Football, the punter, joining us here on the phone, or on the, not even in the phone lines, on the program here with us in the studio. Man, appreciate you for taking the time to come and join us, talk a little ball, and maybe talk a little life outside of football as well.
Of course, it's good to be back on again.
Yeah, it's good to see you, man. How are things? I know the football season has you running all over the place, but you were telling us you haven't really had any downtime because you guys are just rocking and rolling every day, huh?
Right, right. It's always a weird thing, I think, especially with the timeline at the moment. We're back at practice or back at workouts before the playoffs are even finished. And so, like, the season kind of overlaps with each other. So I don't know how the teams dealt with it that, you know, were still playing at that time, whether they had any time off. But, you know, classes start. That means football's back. So so we've been back since early January, and we've been working hard. And Coach Gio, the new strength coach, is awesome. He's put together a good program for us, getting us all into shape. But honestly, it's all been about meeting all the new coaches, meeting all the new players, because, you know, even though I didn't choose to transfer, you may as well have, because, you know, yeah, half of the building's new. You know, the defensive side of things is still pretty similar, but there's still a million new faces and new players. And but yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we talk so much about the portal overlapping with the end of the regular season and things like that. We don't even, I guess, really think about the players who aren't involved in the college football playoff.
Yeah, what a wild topic of, even if you didn't enter, it still feels like you might as well have because of coaching and because of the amount of
change,
names. And so we'll dive into that. We'll dive into some of these new coaches here in a little bit as well. But I guess for the priority is just, I mean, with no spring portal, how does that change how January and February now looks for a bunch of the players, including yourself?
Yeah, I don't think it really changes like the way we prepare very much. Mm-hmm. But it has. I think it was, you know, one of the leading reasons why there's so many changes at so many schools this year in this portal, because it's like this is setting you up for the whole season.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that has been a really interesting thing, because, you know, we saw so many guys leave, so many guys come, and everyone's been, you know, awesome. The new players are all great. New coaches are all great. And everyone's getting along just fine right now. But it's honestly just been, you know, head down, bum up, getting work. And, you know, Coach Gio has been kicking our butts a little bit. But I bet. Been good.
Yeah, that's good. It's good for you though, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's really good. I love the program that he has put together.
What's the difference, I guess? I never played college athletics. Made it through high school. Christian played college baseball. I never got to that level where it was, hey, let's go work out for 3 hours and then go practice. I also ran, so our workout was just go run some more. So what's the difference? What's better about it?
You know, that's been one of the things. I was talking to someone about this the other day. It's crazy. I've had 3 strength coaches now, and it's crazy how different all their philosophies are. Like, you know, and none are right and wrong. I was at Oklahoma State, and we had Coach Glass, who's, you know, famous in the strength and conditioning world there, and he was quite old-fashioned, and, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like pedal to the metal with everything, with lifting, and the heavier weights the better. Like, and then there's Coach Dom, who was the strength coach here before, and he was awesome. Loved him too. And Coach Gio's just brought a different element. And so, like, between, you know, for all us players and guys that are transferred and whatever it might be, like, you can take a few things from everyone and sort of figure out what works best for you. But yeah, so right now we run in the mornings, we do some conditioning. It might be, you know, it depends, might be sled pushes, it might be run sort of, it really just depends on what he has us do that day. A lot of explosive stuff. And then we'll go straight from there into the weight room and they'll destroy us in there. but everything's very deliberate. That's what I'm really loving about Coach Gio is, there's a purpose for everything, and that's one big thing that Golish and Gio have been big on, is that, you know, you're going to know why you're doing everything.
Like, that's cool.
We're not going to waste your time ever. And so that's been really good because, you know exactly what the goal is and what you're trying to improve while you're doing every single little thing.
And so, again, we got Hudson Cock here in the studio, Auburn football punter, with us on ESPN 106.7. With us for about the first 30 minutes of the second hour here. We're going to get into some of your outside of football stuff. I know you have some cool things you want to kind of promote and talk about here coming up in just a little bit. Text box is open if people want to get in some comments or questions for Hudson when he's with us. 334-784-1067. But if you don't mind me asking, and you can tell me to shut up if I need to, but what went into your decision to not transfer out of Auburn, right? Because you've transferred once before. There's coaching changes. There's a lot of people. You said in and out and so many new things. What went into your decision to stay at Auburn? What made you say this is the place I want to be, even with all the changes?
Right. And obviously, I think every single player went through that phase of being like, okay, what am I going to do? Because you see what everyone else is going to do. And you know how the portal works these days. You have options, and people you got to weigh up what you want to do. And I definitely, had to weigh up what I was going to do. But my biggest thing was two things. Personally, I love the town of Auburn. I love the community. I love the fans. Everything that Auburn offers, not directly with football, is awesome, and I've loved it. Second thing is like the football thing, and you know, the coach we got for special teams, Coach Bronowski, and his staff have been awesome. And I think that they're going to give me a great opportunity to potentially get to the league. So that's like the biggest priority, because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're all playing for. That's what we're trying to do. And you know, there's something about sticking it out and, like, you know, seeing what we can do here rather than just jumping ship onto something else. And
for the third, it would be your third time.
Right. And I really, I do value loyalty a lot. Like, I didn't really love the idea of transferring the first time. Mm-hmm. And so when I came here, I was like, all right, this is where I'm going to be and this is where I'm going to stay. And so, it was really important to me that, one, like I was happy here. Two, that I was that I like the coaches, the personnel that they brought in. That's we've really enjoyed that.
There's a maturity factor that you feel like that mentality is definitely not the definitely not the popular way of going about it, of thinking that loyalty still matters. It's a big conversation when you look at college football. When you go to last year's season, obviously not the way that this team wanted things to work out, and a big reason for a lot of the changes. What were some things, maybe personally or on that team level, that you thought went well and maybe didn't go well that you're pursuing for this upcoming year?
Yeah, it was a really hard one because, you know, we really were close, and I know that's a bad thing to say because no one wants to hear that, including me. I'm like one of the most competitive blokes you'll ever meet, but I will say it's just we had such a talented team.
Yeah.
We will again, but that I don't think 5-7 really reflected what we had.
Sure.
You know, we had 7 losses. 5 of them were against ranked opponents,
yeah,
and they were all less than 10-point differentials.
So, that's hard, man. That's so hard.
It was brutal. And I think had some things, you know, I think everyone had the right intentions,
yeah,
and everyone was, you know, in a good spot. And the culture really was good. And I that's one thing that I was like hated about so many guys leaving is I didn't want people thinking that we had a bad culture, because we,
yeah,
really didn't. It
True.
Was it was
yeah.
great, but you know, I think last year we had a lot of things go right, but then, you know, once things start going wrong, they can start to snowball. And I mean, we showed flashes throughout the year of what we were capable of. It was just our consistency wasn't there. And
yeah,
I think it was just one of those things where it just didn't quite come together for us. But I think the coaching staff that we kept on, you know, Durkin and all his staff are awesome. Can't speak highly enough of him and the job he did while he did take over at the end of last season. Like he was awesome. So I'm so glad we wanted to stay. And I think that was a big part of a lot of guys who did stay.
Mm-hmm.
Why they stayed is because he seriously, I'll say it to anyone, he's one of the best coaches I've been around.
Wow.
And so, I'm really excited to see what we can do with Golish and his staff coming in to complement everything Durkin's already set up here.
Auburn football punter Hudson Cock with us in the studio here on ESPN 106.7. As that's what I wanted to go to next was, while last season didn't go the way you wanted it to, this is a new year with new opportunities, right? What
right.
have you've kind of alluded to it already, but several new coaches, new special teams coordinator, a new head coach, a new strength coach. I mean, mm-hmm. what have you noticed, at least in these early days? I know it's probably been a blur for a lot of you guys, and especially the coaching staff too, but what have you noticed so far, just the demeanor that they have and the message that they're bringing every single day to you and this team right now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing immediately, and I went and met with Golish and Gio and Bronowski and all that before we left for Christmas break, because I just wanted to figure out like where they're at. And the biggest thing that I noticed for them is their professionalism is very high. Like they want to focus on everything to the little detail. Like you'll see, you know, there's even just like down to things like nutrition and all that sort of thing. Like they take everything very seriously and don't skip over anything. Not that the last staff did, but they're just hyper-focused on absolutely doing everything we can to be the best we
yeah.
can. So I think that, and that attitude feeds down to the players. Like I think that naturally, you know, everyone at the top is doing that, then that trickles down, and then the players are more likely to, you know, squeeze the lemon dry, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
I think that's been the biggest thing that I've noticed.
Yeah. I'm glad that you say that too, because again, I got to experience a little bit of it, but now working in this media side of things, you realize how cliche things like that sound of
right.
if you do it the best at the highest level, everybody else is going to follow.
Right.
It sounds okay, yeah, well sure, as long as you win, that cures everything. But to hear you continue to say that, and again, personally, I've experienced a lot of that as well. It's very, very true, and how, although it may seem cliche, you see why success is built from the coaching standpoint and
yeah,
from that
correct.
Ground up.
And everyone can say that they want to focus on, you know, even the little things, but there's another thing to do it.
Right.
And,
right.
and these coaches
yeah.
are doing it. Like there's several areas that in our program that I've noticed have improved significantly in just the short time that they've been here. And they're areas that a lot of people would just gloss over, if that makes sense.
And hopefully people, too, don't – I mean, you as a player or anybody in any organization, whether it's sports or a regular job, and there's change at the top, you're allowed to compliment the new people in power – and it doesn't mean you're bashing the old people.
Correct. That's what I said before. I mean, this isn't to say the last staff didn't do
it
that.
At this point, it has nothing to do with it. Right? I mean, unfortunately, they're gone. There's a new staff now.
Yeah. I have nothing but respect for everyone who was here last year as well. And I loved the culture and I loved what we had going. And as I said, like, I don't have a bad word to say about anyone that was in the organization last year. It's just this... Yeah, this new staff has brought a new sort of vibrant energy and we're all sort of reaping the rewards so far.
A question or two before we hit the break and hit your personal life again. I know we want to be able to talk a little bit about your pursuing goals outside of football, but you're in a sport where there's yes, it's the ultimate team sport, but there's also a lot of individual praise. Right. Your position being a punter or a buta, you don't necessarily get that praise, and funny enough, the less that you're on the field, the better it is for the team. And so how do you as a individual weigh that when you wear the jersey, knowing that, man, the less my name is called on, the better the team individually, or the better the team plays as a whole?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because especially, you know, as I said, I'm super competitive. So I'm like always wanting to be out there. Like I want to influence the game as much as I possibly can.
Durkin will put you on defense somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he would.
Just run through somebody.
And I'll talk to him about it and he'll just be like, yeah, right. Yeah. All right. No, I think it really is a thing that you've sort of learned to balance out. But at the end of the day, I sort of say this to anyone, this goes for anyone in any position, but players, the teams that usually have the most players go to the NFL are the ones that win. And so if you're in the national championship or, you know, at least in the playoffs, the punters on that team are usually looked at more because they've got more exposure to everything. So yeah, it might be a little bit disappointing when you only get one or two punts a game because you win. But I'd much rather that winning and flying home with a happy group of players and being in a good environment that's super super motivated and all that sort of thing than punt 11 times like I did at A&M last year and you know, come up short and don't get the result, and you know, the whole organization is, you know, a bit down in the dumps on the way, on the flight home. You know what I mean? So like,
I get it.
It's a balance, but at the same time, if you do your job and everyone else is doing their job and you're winning, then, you know, your opportunities going forward are going to take care of themselves.
Yeah, that's a great question, Christian, and great answer as well. Hudson Cock, Auburn football punter, with us in the studio here on ESPN 106.7. We need to take a break. We're going to come back in. Hudson, we're going to learn some more about you outside of football. You got some really neat things going on other than just getting worn out in the workout room. So we're going to talk about that when we come back again. Our text box is open if you want to be a part of this. 334-784-1067. The Friday edition of On the Line continues right after this.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
River City Door Company understands your time is valuable. That's why they offer that two-hour service window. And when on their way, they're going to send you a picture of your technician along with a short bio so you know who shows up at your front door. Going on 27 years, the team has a combined 100 years experience amongst the technicians. River City Door Company offers preventative maintenance as well as easy financing. Get that free estimate today. Go to rivercitydoors.com. River City Door Company, your trusted partner in garage door care. Don't let a small issue turn into a big expense. Go to rivercitydoors.com.
What's up, Auburn fans? This is Jack Cutten. Hey, join Carson Meyer and me this weekend for After the Game on Wings 94.3 as we recap the Auburn men's basketball game.
Presented by Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown.
Hello, After the Game on Wings 94.3. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say the Warburger at Auburn Plaza Bar and Grill is AU awesome.
After the Game is live and local on Wings 94.3, where Auburn sports rocks.
Stay warm, dry, and ready this hunting season with premium gear from Winter Timber Outdoors. Suit up with the latest Sitka apparel, light and crispy boots, and premium dive bomb waders built for the toughest of hunts. And don't forget the feed. Grab triple clean deer corn, just $8.99 for a 50-pound bag. From the woods to the water, we've got everything you need to elevate your adventure. Winter Timber Outdoors, Auburn Opelika's premier hunting and shooting retailer.
Franklin Tire and Auto is your one-stop automotive shop. For quality, dependable tires, Franklin features Bridgestone, Firestone, and Yokohama. For complete car care, trust Franklin's ASE-certified technicians. And for precision collision repair, Franklin's state-of-the-art body shop can fully restore any make or model. With free estimates, insurance claims welcome, and 24-hour towing, all at one stop. Since 1970, Franklin Tire and Auto, East University Drive, across from CC's Pizza, and at franklinautoinc.com.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. And we're joined in the studio for another segment here by Auburn football punter Hudson Cock, good friend of ours, friend of the program as well, has been in multiple times, and appreciate him for taking the time. We just talked about a lot of the things from last year, kind of the changes, what we're seeing, what he's seeing from inside, and just the idea of changes happening everywhere, what that means, and the college football calendar. Talked about that a little bit too with Hudson as well. And so, but for you personally, man, you're busy outside of football. I know you don't have a ton of time, but it seems like you got a ton going on, and that you are getting involved. You talked about how much you're loving Auburn. What are you up to outside of football?
Yeah, we've heard about the big stage of Jordan Hare, but apparently there's another stage that's
right.
Going on.
Right. Yes. So, yeah.
Other than the T-box, of course.
yeah, that's right. It's a third one. But, yeah, no, I've been very busy with everything football, but, you know, we have to finish football before classes start, and so we do everything football in the AMs. And then in the PM, I've got a bit of extra time, which I've been lucky enough to be involved in the sort of theater program in Auburn, which I know is a bit different for an athlete to be involved in. And mm-hmm. It's different for me. It's way outside of my comfort zone. But I was in one of the classes that I got enrolled in, and, you know, they convinced me to audition for the musical coming up. So there's a musical coming up. We've been in rehearsals since the start of January, pretty
okay.
much.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much 6 to 10 p.m. every night.
Wow.
Rehearsals.
Yeah. And then you're getting up for 5:30 workouts.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
It's been brutal, but it's been so fun. I've loved it. And,
that's awesome,
and honestly,
man.
Like, it was one of those things where I didn't know how I was going to like it because I've never done anything like this before.
Yeah.
But it's been so cool just to, you know, try a new opportunity and see what happens.
Bet you have a whole new respect for people that do it, huh?
Oh, they're incredible. And so the musical coming up is Sweeney Todd, Demon Barber of Fleet Street. So it's one of the most famous Broadway shows, Sondheim sort of thing. So, that's going to be on the 19th that opens, 19th of February.
Okay.
And so that goes, we have 8 shows from the weekend of the 19th and then the weekend of the 20th. To the 28th of February. So there's 8 shows between those numbers. So it's going to be so much fun. I'm pretty nervous about it. I don't know. I've never really done anything in front of a crowd like that before, other than, you know, I've punted a ball. I've punted a ball, but
kicking a ball in front of 87,000 people.
Singing and acting is a little bit different, but they've been super supportive, knowing that it hasn't been my thing so far, but I've loved every minute of it, and it's been really good. And, you know, hopefully a lot of the shows are sold out already. This is the biggest musical that they've done here in a while.
And this is through the university,
this
is that right?
This is through the university.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So these guys are all musical theater majors, a lot of them. So
and there you are, you're like,
yeah.
How's the singing voice? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, I've only really ever sung by myself.
Okay.
To be honest,
in the car, you know, shower.
But I've always liked musicals. Like, I do like it, but
That's a humble way of saying, like, yeah, I got it.
He said, yeah, I'm a natural.
Well, you know, I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but sure. Auditions went well, obviously. And so, yeah, I got one of the parts, and, you know, we're so excited for everyone to come and see it. And that's been the biggest thing, is like a lot of the time there's not a lot of advertising about it all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, you know, it's at the Telfair Pete Theatre.
Okay.
And tickets are free for students, so that's awesome. And then everyone else, it's under $20, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how much it is, but
how do people find those tickets? Is there a website or anything? Do you have that?
There is a website. You can.
If not, we can get it later. We can plug it for you. Yeah.
But if you just search it up, I'm sure it'll come up.
Yeah. What sparked this for you, brother? Because you didn't just wake up one day and say, let's go sing on stage. Right. I mean, somebody said, hey, you got to do this.
Honestly, it was one of those things where I was in a theater class just by chance. It was just like one of the credits that I was getting. And the professors were like, hey, you're actually like not bad at this. You should audition. And then all my friends that I'd made in that area were like, yeah, you should. And I sort of talked to my parents and stuff about it. And I was like, you know, it's a little, because it's out of the ordinary. It's a nerve wracking thing to do because, you know,
I can only imagine.
There's not really a lot of football players in musicals, especially in, you know, Power Five. But
just modern day High School Musical.
Right, right.
But Troy for football Bolton instead style. Of basketball. Yeah. Yeah.
And
just plus the accent as well. Does that come out with the singing voice?
Yeah,
well,
the whole show is based in London, so it's British. So we're all putting on accents.
No wonder they wanted you to come through.
And then they and I sort of thought about it, and you know, I was super nervous to take an opportunity to move to America for football and to, you know, give up everything I had going in Australia. And this has led to like the most amazing things in my life that I now get to live every day. And so I thought, you know, you never know where things are going to lead. And that's the advice I give people all the time when they ask me about my journey, is like, I say, you know, you never know where something's going to lead. So take every opportunity you can, because, you know, who knows where you're going to end up. Like, who knew I was going to live in Auburn, Alabama? Like, I didn't even know what Alabama was, really. You know what I'm talking about?
Right,
So that was behind my decision to actually give it a shot. And now, you know, I've made so many great friends, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, there could be like a little hobby or career there for me, but we'll see what happens.
Are you getting like the High School Musical where the whole football team's going to be in the crowd singing the songs with you?
Or? Yeah, they're not going to be singing the songs with me, I'll tell you that. But I do know there's going to be a few coaches and a few players in the crowd.
Yeah,
and,
that's so cool. Have you gotten good support from the guys though? I mean, for the ones that probably know that you're doing it.
Right. I
mean,
yeah, I have. They've been great. Awesome. And there's, you know, it's
after the elbows,
surprisingly enough. Yeah. And I was ready to cop a bit, the guys that know found out, like, it's been surprising how many guys have come up to me and been like, you know, I was in theater in high school, or like, you know, I actually do love theater. I love Hamilton. I love like these musicals.
So,
and I'm
awesome.
Like, okay, we never would have discussed this or known it unless I had brought this up. And now they're like, I had a kid in the weight room say to me this morning, he's like, I'm so jealous. That would be so fun. And I'm like,
wow.
So that's why I'm like,
that's
okay,
got to make you feel good.
That's why I'm like, okay, even if I cop a bit for this, like, if I can inspire guys, it doesn't have to be musicals, but inspire guys to step out of the ordinary and do things that they want to pursue and don't really care what everyone thinks, you know, that then it's been worth it. So.
I'm full on expecting, and you should be as well, after the 19th or after those 8 days, they're going to have your voice playing 5:30 over all the music speakers during workouts.
I hope not.
Like, it's
that would be an awful thing to wake up
if
to.
If you ever show up late one day, though, they're going to play that for you.
That's going to be max day.
They might. But we, you know, we have Patrick Barnett and Catherine Mims are the two leads in it, and they are destined for Broadway. They are so talented.
That's
and
so cool.
And, you know, the talent that I see on the football field is equally equivalent to, like, how good these two are. Like, and so if you do come and see it, like, you'll be blown away by these two. Like, I'm so excited. And Charlie Schwinger, who's a kicker as well, he's also involved in it. Yeah,
okay.
He's in the show as well. So,
what's your role in the musical?
Well, I play I'm like the father of a family, and so
nice.
Yeah, it's I've got a few singing solos and stuff like that. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah,
man.
It'll be. I've been thinking about it at rehearsals. We're doing sort of full run throughs at the moment, and I've been thinking about, you know, I'm gonna get up there and I'm gonna see Coach Bronowski or Alex McPherson or something in the crowd, and I'm just
you're gonna see Christian and Jacob,
right?
Yes,
right. Welcome. I hope you do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But yeah, when I see them, I'm gonna have to try and keep a straight face because it's a very gloomy like story about a barber that, you know, murders his clients and stuff, and so there's no room for laughing or smirking or anything if I see someone in the crowd, you know what I mean? So that's going to be the biggest challenge, to be honest, because seeing those guys in the crowd.
Well, don't they teach you to like look at the back wall or something and not look at familiar faces? I don't know.
But there's always a temptation to be like, who is here?
Peek over. Yeah. That's so funny.
But yeah, no, I'm really excited for it, and it's a new challenge for me, and yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Hudson Cock, Auburn football punter, with us on ESPN 106.7. Plug it all again, Chris. Did you have something else? I want to let him plug everything again for it and how to find it and how people can be involved. And
for
stuff
sure,
like that.
We were coming to break, and you said you were a basketball guy. You sticking with us one more segment? Talk a little Auburn, Alabama.
I'm here for as long as you want me.
Let's do
it. Okay, cool. Okay, well let's take a break. We'll come back. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back and let Hudson plug everything again. We'll talk a little basketball as well, because you know a little bit about the Iron Bowl, right? But now this one's on the hardwood, so we get to talk Auburn and Alabama as well. Hudson Cock, Auburn football punter, with us in the studio. Good for you, man. That's so cool to step out of your comfort zone to do something like that. And I could never do it. There's no way. Man, you couldn't pay me to step on the stage and do it. And ain't no way. No way.
Much less by myself.
Yeah, singing. Solo. Ooh. The only only solos I do are in the car, man. And even those, they're not good. I like to do it.
Solo play-by-play broadcasting. That's what we do.
I don't know.
You do your thing. That's pretty. You know, a lot of people would struggle with. So
yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. I used to be a frequent flyer with karaoke. Not as much anymore in my older age. We'll talk more with Hudson coming back right after this here on ESPN 106.7. Stick around.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7. Got a little less than 30 minutes here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's Christian Griffin with you in the studio. Also, we convinced this guy to hang around for a few more minutes. Hudson Cock of Auburn Football is in the studio with us right now, and we got some more information. Again, you are in. It's a musical, right? It is a musical play, right? I mean, there's singing, there's dancing, there's storytelling, there's the whole nine yards for you
guys. It's not your typical musical where there's like heaps of dancing. Like it's a very dark story about a prisoner that comes back, and so he comes back to London to get his revenge, essentially, and you know. Stuff.
So it's not necessarily just the feel all happy when you're watching or walking
it's
away.
It's no Hairspray, I'll tell you that. It's more of a story to come and behold.
For yeah, sure. That's awesome. Well, again, shout out to you for doing that, right? B, for wanting to come in, and we appreciate you reaching out to come on for a second time with us here and promote that and talk about your message and why others should do not just musical theater, but just stepping out of your comfort zone to do something you haven't done before, because you never know how it's going to go. Like you said, you never know what doors it could open, what people you meet. I'm sure you've met hundreds of people through this thing now.
It's been awesome.
And so really excited for you. And so, again, the dates on that for you and your entire crew, Thursday, February 19th, through Saturday, February 28th, right? Thursday,
correct.
February 19th through Saturday, February 28th. There is a link. The easiest way to find it, we just discovered, just go online and just look up Sweeney Todd Auburn, because Sweeney Todd is the musical you guys are doing. Look up Sweeney Todd Auburn. It's the first one that pops up. Click there, buy your tickets. And you said students get in free from AU, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Students get in free, and then I think everyone else was $18.
General admission was $18.
Yeah.
$18 to go watch Hudson Cock on stage. I mean,
good enough for me.
There's guys, there's actors there that are much better than me. But if you want to come and watch me, then, you know, I'll say g'day after the show.
Hey, we secured our tickets during the break, so we're in, we're locked in, we're ready to go. Well, today is a busy day, Hudson, because there's basketball going on tomorrow.
Yes.
Here on the Plains, as Auburn and Alabama will do battle tomorrow, 3 o'clock inside of Neville Arena. We were scheduled to talk about it right now. We wanted you to hang out and talk about it, and you did too. Basketball, where's the sport of basketball rank for you in terms of your fandom, your knowledge? How do you feel about college basketball?
Yeah, I love it. I've definitely was into basketball more when I was in Australia than I was into football. Like, I didn't really have much of a clue what was going on in the NFL or really even the rules.
Because they weren't coming to play games over there at that point, right?
Correct.
Like they're doing
and
now.
And basketball's a big sport in Australia. Like, you know, we've got a bunch of guys in the NBA now, like with, you know, Josh Giddey and Dyson Daniels and, you know, all those guys. But, yeah, I think it's one of my favorite sports for sure, especially to watch. It's awesome. So it's been an up and down season for us so far, but you know what makes everything better is beating the old rivals.
That's right. Yeah, Auburn and Alabama tomorrow, and as Christian said earlier, there's just been so much drama outside of the game itself. And luckily now, for the next, you know, 15 minutes that we're on the air, we get to talk about the game. We get to talk about the matchups that we think we're going to see, the matchups that we hope to see. And I want to go ahead and put this out there right now. I guess we just need to talk about the game as if Bediako is or is not playing. I don't know. I don't know what the best course of action is, because we're within 20 or 25 minutes of maybe having a decision made on this whole situation. Hudson, I'm not sure how much you've seen about the Charles Bediako stuff. Basically, Alabama had a player who left to go pro, didn't really make it, so he came back and is currently playing for Alabama after he already forewent.
Is that allowed?
It's a great question. It is for now.
I know it's not in football.
Yeah. Well, exactly. They're meeting about it today and coming up with a decision on whether he can play tomorrow, basically.
I love the innocence of
is that allowed?
The entire topic of conversation.
I know that would never fly in football, so it's interesting to see. I don't know what the rules are with basketball.
Yeah, well, we're talking with overseas pro kicker Hudson.
Didn't you play like semi-pro? What's the sport that you played over there?
AFL, Australian Football League. Yeah.
So you were a semi-pro, so you came and played college football. This guy.
Man.
This guy.
Well, it's a different
coach.
Halfway
jokingly, but like also like based off of what happens in this.
I mean, maybe.
It's a different code, though, you know?
Like, it is.
There's,
yeah.
There's punters, like the punter Indiana just signed. He was an actual pro in Australia for like 8 years.
Yeah.
Or longer. He won the equivalent of a Super Bowl in Australia. So
wow.
He's playing college now. So, you know, you
say
can
that again, it's very, very different code, but that's the counterpoint that Alabama is trying to use of comparing players not quite like
it's
yourself.
Same
but
sport though. It's ridiculous. It's a silly argument. In my opinion, and
look at what common sense does.
It's easy to say when it's Alabama, but I genuinely think I would have the same point of view if it was anyone.
Well, that's the point that we've been trying to make for weeks now. Is this is not necessarily the game is, but this type of situation is not Auburn versus Alabama. This is something that will affect
the integrity of the sport.
Mm.
That's what it is.
Golly.
Yes, from a college athlete, an active P4 college athlete who says,
"Can we
no.
send that in for our formal? What's the word that they needed to have by four? The full proposal. There's our proposal.
How many years of eligibility has this bloke got left?
Well, that was the thing, was he had years of eligibility left, but he went through the NBA draft process, so he forewent. Is that the right word? I think so.
He basically opted out of his last year or two of eligibility.
He said, I don't
want declared.
It. He declared
for the draft, went undrafted, played in the G League, signed professional contracts, realized that it did not go how we wanted, and funny enough, we said we weren't going to talk about him, and here we are. But we're spreading knowledge, which is what we're doing.
Right.
Played multiple games, played, what, 3 seasons in the G League, came back, and is playing for Alabama right now. And
Has played five games for them?
Yeah, I believe he's played in 4 games. Alabama is 2-2 because Alabama and the court judge in Tuscaloosa has put a restraining order on the NCAA, not allowing them to touch the case until this morning.
I saw this. Like, this reminds me of I saw something the other day. It's like, you know, LeBron James still has 4 years.
Yeah,
of eligibility.
Yeah, exactly. That's where entire joke is coming.
He
from.
May as well just come back and play with is it Bryce?
Bryce is Arizona.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Exactly.
I mean, if we just.
That's extreme.
We could open the floodgates here.
Exactly.
You know?
That's why people are all up in arms about this. And so why this is important, yes, because of the game tomorrow, but they were supposed to have everything in. They met this morning. Everything was supposed to be in by 4 o'clock this afternoon, which is literally 16 minutes from right now live. And so The Drive, the show coming up after us, will be able to hopefully present whether he plays tomorrow or plays any other games at Alabama. But
beat him, either way.
It's what Todd Golden, the head coach for Florida, said, and they did.
Yeah, we will too.
Yeah, I love it.
I believe in us.
Let's talk about the game a little bit. Auburn and Alabama. I think it's safe to say we talk about it as he does. Oh, I was going to say no.
I mean, he's a current player right now until the news drops.
Somebody in the text box says, we know how it works in this state. He's going to play tomorrow and beyond. So.
Yeah. I think we talk about it with LeBaron Filon and with Charles Bediako, because right now they're on the roster set to play.
Auburn, Alabama, tomorrow. Do we have an official spread on this game yet?
Auburn by 1.5.
Wow. So basically a pick 'em.
That dropped not very long ago.
Basically a pick 'em for Auburn, Alabama tomorrow.
And the over under 176.5 points. They are expecting this to be a very high, I guess maybe not necessarily from Alabama's perspective, but still a relatively high-scoring game. But the one opinion, or I don't even know if it needs to go down as an opinion, but coming from my mouth, is the person or the team that dictates the tempo wins this basketball game.
Which is what Alabama wants to do.
Yes.
Auburn has a problem at times
deciding. They get sped up.
I feel like they struggle deciding what type of game they want to play, and I think the opponents that they've gone up against have influenced that. Tennessee, Texas A&M, those types of squads.
If this game is in the 70s, Auburn wins the basketball game. If this is trying to get one that gets pushed into the 90s or 100s, it leans towards Alabama.
Previous years, Auburn could hang with that.
Correct.
I don't think they have that right now.
That's the one thing that's a little bit scary. It's just why Auburn has to develop their type of tempo and pace in this basketball game, because if Alabama gets to the point where they're 9 of 16 or 18 from 3 early on in this contest – Auburn's mentality so far in this season has been, let's match what the other team is doing.
Yeah.
And that's what Auburn cannot get into a 3-point shooting contest with this team. Although they shoot it much better at home, Auburn has to find a way to use their physicality down low, get to the free throw line, and dominate, and what their biggest strengths have been all season long.
Well, I'll say this too. The difference in this game between some of Auburn's losses this year, by the way, this is not a top 25 matchup. First time in, like, I think 8 to 10 years,
yes,
that
neither
at least,
team was ranked.
Right, when one team wasn't ranked, right? But look at Auburn's losses this year. Tennessee, A&M, Georgia, some of those non-conference games too. Was that you?
That A&M game.
Oh, brutal. What'd you think of the ending?
Well, I think it was similar to the to some of the calls in the football season, I'll say. I think it was such a
similar to your buddy Jackson over the goal line, maybe?
Yeah, mate, don't get me started
illegal play in Norman, you know?
Yeah, shout out to Jackson, who got absolutely robbed, if I may say so, of that touchdown.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's happened. But the A&M one, that was just, you know. It's bad when there's even other fans that are being like, what is happening?
Yeah,
right?
jumping on your side and saying, how did...
Yeah. But my point being was a lot of these losses is, and Tennessee being the main one, A&M as well, those were physical teams that really knocked Auburn out of its game, that really controlled how it was played.
Sure.
Auburn can win the physicality game tomorrow with Alabama. They, even if Bediako plays, they can win the physicality
game.
They
need to.
You got to show up and want it. You've got to own it. You've got to bring it and take it to this Alabama team, because they're the same way they've always been with Nate Oates as their head coach. If you bully them and punch them in the mouth, they can't respond for 40 minutes. They have their runs. They have their moments. But if you bring it to them, you will beat that basketball team tomorrow.
You punch them in the mouth and they turn even more so into that finesse type of team. which weirdly enough has worked more for Alabama on the road than it has at home, even with that win over A&M. But that's something that you feel like you've seen a little bit more of, especially just with the SEC, of how physical it is. If the home team becomes more physical, the road team can early or quickly get in trouble.
We'll make our final picks and predictions for Auburn and Alabama when we come back. We got our guy Hudson Cock of Auburn Football in the studio as well. He'll give us his pick for the Tigers and the Tide. We may know which way he's going, but okay, you have to hang around and find out. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes here in the studio, The Drive with Bill Cameron coming up in just a few minutes. Christian, I want to allow you to plug your Lee Scott stuff very quick. You got postseason play starting tonight.
We do, yeah. Postseason play starts tonight. Lee Scott, the varsity girls and the varsity boys are hosting the area tournament. The girls are set to tip off at 6 p.m. The boys are set right around 7:30. Both the girls and the boys are playing Dadeville. That is tonight. If both teams or if one of the teams advance, or I guess if neither team advances, the area championship will be inside Sanford Gymnasium at Lee Scott Academy on Monday evening. But Lee Scott, varsity girls and varsity boys, fully expecting to be participants in that championship game. And so, weirdly enough, the entire season, metaphorically and any other Lee that you can think of, despite every sort of ounce in my being disagreeing, comes down to tonight.
Yeah.
Lee Scott has to win. Despite being 6-0 and 5-1 in area play, if they want to continue their season, you got to walk out with a victory on the scoreboard here tonight.
Yep, so you can tune into that. Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net. Download the Radio Alabama app to hear Christian call Lee Scott Academy basketball. He'll have that tonight if one or both win. Championship games on Monday. Auburn High will be in action coming up on Wednesday next week. Some more on that coming up in just a little bit. But we got our guy Hudson Cock in the studio for just a couple of minutes. Hudson, we have really enjoyed this time, man. It's been a great time having you on. We'll definitely do this again very soon.
I feel like both times we've scheduled 30 minutes, and then it's just like, yeah, just stay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here. I may as well stay on because
I love it.
Having a chat with you fellas is good fun.
Yeah, we love it, man. We appreciate it. And Auburn, Alabama, tomorrow on the hardwood, inside of Neville Arena, Tigers and Tide at 3 o'clock. Broadcast begins at 2:30 over on Wings 94.3. Andy Burcham, Randall Dickey will have the call. Hudson, what's your pick? Auburn, Alabama tomorrow.
My pick is Auburn, and it's going to be 83-74.
Ooh. Okay. Write it down. Somebody write it down. 83-74.
I'm glad that you didn't go the route of like Auburn 97, Alabama 14. Like it's actually
that's a legit pick.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I was gonna say 83-78 Auburn.
Okay.
And so I'm right there with you. This could weirdly enough go down as one of those games where either team wins by 15, and I'd be more surprised if Alabama came in here and won by 15. But one of those games that I wouldn't be overly surprised with either outcome. You feel like both fan bases are relatively nervous about this game, more so than in the past, because over the past couple of years, you knew what every single team was going to give you, whether that was Alabama and Mark Sears, whether that was Auburn, Jani Broome, even going back even further down those years, you knew exactly what you were going to get from those teams. With it being a drunk league like the SEC is right now and a drunk schedule like you've seen with both of these teams, there's still so many question marks, even though this is game 10 of SEC play, but it's inside Neville Arena. The place is going to be an absolute madhouse. I'm looking forward to it.
Have you seen Jungle Village out there?
I saw it, yeah.
For Auburn volleyball tonight, too, which is at 7 p.m., make sure to head out there tonight as well. But, yeah, 83-78 is going to be my final.
Yeah, I have 88-85 Auburn.
Ooh.
88-85.
So you have one of those games that is a little bit higher scoring that favors Alabama, but Auburn still gets it done.
I think so. Alabama came in and beat Auburn last year in Neville. Tigers got to get one back. They can tomorrow. There it is. War Eagle from Hudson Cock, Auburn football punter. Man, so good to see you. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. It's great fun.
We'll see you soon. And your musical, we're excited for that as well. But we are out of time. Tune in tonight, Tiger Country 104.5 with Christian. He's on the Lee Scott Sports Network for postseason basketball. Be sure you tune in there. And then tune in right back here on Monday, 2 to 4, as we recap basketball, Super Bowl, and a whole lot more. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.